So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Tatrapi hamsam purusham paramatmanam atmatrik yajam sal lokatam apa kushalina samadhina tatrapi hamsam purusham Paramatmanam atmatrik yajam salokatam apa kushalina samadhina atrapiham sampurusham paramatmanam atmatrik yajam salokatam apa Kusalina samadhina Tatrapiham sampurusham Paramatmanam atmatrik Yajam salokatam apa Kusalina samadhina Tatrapiham sampurusham Paramatmanam atmate Yajam salokatam apa Kusalina samadhina Tatrapiham sampurusham Tatra api. Despite his engagement, Hamsham, one who kills the distress of his kinsman, Purusham, unto the Supreme Person, Paramatmanam, the most beloved Supersoul, Atmatrik, one who has seen or acquired self-realization. Yajan, by worshipping. Tat Lokatam, achieve the same planet. Apa, achieve. Kushalina, very easily. Samadhina, always keeping himself in ecstasy. Translation. In purple, by His Divine Grace, the boy Charanara in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada ki. Although Maharaj Antarhana was engaged in performing sacrifices, because he was a self-realized soul, he very intelligently rendered devotional service to the Lord who eradicates all the fears of his devotees. By thus worshipping the Supreme Lord, Maharaj Antardhana, wrapped in ecstasy, attained his planet very easily. Please repeat. Although Maharaj Antardhana was engaged in performing sacrifices, because he was a self-realized soul, he very intelligently rendered devotional service to the Lord, who eradicates all the fears of his devotees. By thus worshipping the Supreme Lord, Maharaj Antardhana, wrapped in ecstasy, attained his planet very easily. Since sacrifices are generally performed by fruitifactors, it is specially mentioned here, tatrapi, that although Maharaj Antardhana was externally engaged in performing sacrifices, his real business was rendering devotional service by hearing and chanting. In other words, he was performing the usual sacrifices by the method of Sankirtan Jagannath, as recommended herein. Shavanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atman Nivedanam. From Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Devotional service is called Kirtan Yagna, and by practicing the Sankirtan Jagna, one is very easily elevated to the planet where the Supreme Lord resides. Out of the five kinds of liberation, achieving the same planet where the Lord resides and living with the Lord, there, it is called Shalokya liberation. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karaha Shivashani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'll read speak a little bit of Maharaj Antardhana, then something of Shri Vaishnava. So Maharaj Antardhana, although he was performing these sacrifices, which appeared to be Karmakanda, it says his real business was performing devotional service by hearing and chanting. So in the Krishna book, Krishna says that the real duty of when he's preaching to one king, I can't remember. The real business, first business of a king, the first duty of a king, is to make sure the citizens are happy. That's his business. So how do they become happy? So then the king, who's supposed to be a representative of God on the earth, then he engages them in the scriptural injunctions. Because you want to be happy, so here is the best way to be happy, because this is recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where you get all the Vedic literatures and injunctions, how to act in this material world for the maximum benefit. So the business of the king, he has to satisfy all of his citizens. Now, the citizens didn't come into this material world to become devotees of Krishna. They come in this material world to be the enjoyers. So the king, he has a responsibility here. He has to make sure the citizens are enjoying, but somehow or another, he has to make them Krishna conscious. If he's Krishna conscious, of course. So, So he's advising them and showing by his example how he's performing sacrifices for the welfare of the citizens, for prosperity, for rain, for health, for good food. So the citizens are very happy. And actually you see even Yudhisthira, it's in the story when Krishna, when the Brahmana comes and accuses, what's happening in this kingdom, my sons have died before me. Must be something wrong with the kings. They must be doing something wrong. How is it the son died before the father? It's unnatural in those days, of course. Whether it's piety, then this wouldn't happen. So he was criticizing the kings. All you do is sitting around performing jagannas. Where are the heroes? You can't even save my son. You're all proud kings and you spend your whole day performing sacrifices. So this is a big part of a king's life. We always hear in the Bhagavatam, they're always performing different sacrifices. It's practically the Kshatriyas are Brahmanas, but they got a little bit of passion. So they like all these things. They like all performing jagannas and things like that. But it all appears like karmakanda stuff. It's all for the welfare and benefit so the citizens can become happy. But it's recommended. Krishna is also recommends in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Be thou happy by this sacrifice. It'll bring all your desired results will come. Right? He said the man worships the demigods and in turn the demigods supply all the necessities of life. So Krishna's actually recommending it for a certain class of consciousness. A certain standard of consciousness, he's recommended. Oh, you want to be happy in the material world, so do it like this. You worship the demigods, the demigods will fulfill your material desires. And they are performing this the different rituals are recommended in the Vedas just for their necessities of life. So, Maharaj Antadhana is performing all these sacrifices for the satisfaction of the citizens. But for himself, he doesn't have a desire to enjoy the material world. He says here, his business was his self-realization. So, in other words, he is performing these sacrifices to fulfill the desires of the citizens, but his desire was to satisfy Krishna. Krishna's desire. So it's Krishna's desire that everyone in the material world follow his injunctions, because by following the Vedic injunctions, it's a gradual purification process, it's a step-by-step process. Tamagun, Rajagun, Shatvagun, and Brahmachari, Vanapras, Grihastha, Vanapras, Sannyas. So it's a built-in purificatory process. You've got a social system here. Vanashram system, but it's a built-in purifying process. By following this, it takes a long, long time. But you become purified by doing it without even understanding it. This is how Krishna has arranged the program. Chaturvanayam Mayas Krishtam Gunakama. I created this, so nobody's more intelligent than Krishna. So he's created a system. You've got to work, so work like this. And you'll get a good result. Simultaneously, even unconsciously, you'll be making spiritual advancement because you'll come more and more. Eventually you come to the point of understanding that one must worship Krishna alone. It's not necessary to worship anyone else. So, Maharaj Parikshit, although it looks like now everyone thinks he's performing karma kanda sacrifices for the pleasure of the citizens, so everyone, all the citizens are happy. But actually he's performing devotional service. So this is in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this is called action in inaction. One who sees action in inaction, inaction in action. He's a wise person. So Maharaj Parikshit is a self-realized person. He's very intelligent, very wise. So he's performing an activity. Maharaj Antadhanya. He's performing activities which look like karmakanda activities. But his consciousness is not in the activity of karma kanda. His consciousness is for the satisfaction of Krishna. So this is action in action. He's doing something. He's performing sacrifices. There's a lot of activity going on, but it's in action. Why? Because there's no result coming from it. Because he's not after the result. He's not doing it for fruitive results. He's doing it simply to engage the citizens in the proper, what they should be doing according to the laws of God. So Krishna's satisfied because he's bringing everyone up. They get reactions for their work. They perform action, but they get a reaction, so it's not inaction. But when Maharaj Antaranga is performing actions, he's not doing it for his personal satisfaction. He's doing it for Krishna's satisfaction. Therefore, there's no reaction. He gets no fruits from his work. His karma stops. But this is action and inaction that Maharaj is performing here. So in other words, it's the consciousness behind the activities that is important. We see here that they're worshipping the Lord according to his orders, and they may be even worshipping demigods. In fact, you should be worshipping demigods if you're a follower of the Vedic system. So, but these demigods, it says that Vishnu, he gave his name to the secondary, he gave his secondary names to other living entities like Indra, Rudra, Ganesh, all these millions of demigods. We call them by that, but actually these are Krishna's names, they're his secondary names. But he kindly lets other people use them. So when a person takes the post of, say, Indra or Ganesh, that's actually Krishna's potency. That Indra is Krishna's potency. So then the living entity takes that post and becomes an Indra, and then he can utilize that potency. So when you worship the demigods, actually you're worshipping the potency, which is Krishna's potency. So they're indirectly worshipping Krishna by worshipping Krishna's potency. So, Prabhupada also mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, one purple. But anyway, two men are working side by side. One is a kami, one is a devotee. They're doing exactly the same work, but they're getting two different results. The kami is working for his pleasure. He wants results so he can enjoy the result of his work. And the devotee is working also, side by side, doing the same thing. But he's working for Krishna's satisfaction. So, therefore there is no reaction to his work. The kami, he has to suffer reaction for that. Therefore he continues in the cycle of birth and death. For the devotee, he's not working for his pleasure, he's working for Krishna's satisfaction. So therefore this karmic activity, it stops. There is no more reaction. It just goes back wherever it came from. So in this way, the devotee, he winds up his karmic business by performing activities for pleasing Krishna. So it's not the activity. We sometimes say karma. Karma means work. By work, you're bound in karma, action, react. But it's not actually the work that binds one. It's the consciousness behind the work. Prabhupada says, two people working together. One is getting the fruits, but he's getting bound also. The other one is not enjoying the fruits he's giving to Krishna, and he is free. So it's the consciousness behind the activity that creates the karma. It's not the work itself. So, all these demigods that were advised to worship, the materialists are advised to worship. They get their potency. There is a prototype demigod in the spiritual world. He's a Vishnumurti. And his name is Indra or Ganesh or Rudra or something like that. But he's, when a living entity, an ordinary living entity, takes the position of Indra or something like that, then that prototype demigod infuses that person with that potency, or Indra. Indra is a potency, so he infuses him with the potency. So he can benedict. But it's Krishna's potency. The devil Krishna says the worship of demigods are less intelligent because they're simply using my potency. It's my potency they're praying for. And I have to sanction the demigods anyway for them to give to their work to the worshippers. So therefore Krishna doesn't condemn demi-worship, but he says it's for less intelligent persons. Because it still keeps them bound up in the cycle of birth and death. So, Sai Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he speaks in his Sakriya Sattipika. There's very famous verses. Narayana Rudra, Narayana Indra, Narayana, it goes on and on. Narayana, Indra is Narayana, Narayana is Indra, Shiva is Ganesh. It goes on and on and on. The Gurukul boys chant it sometimes. Narayana, 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 it goes on and on and on. That, he is actually everything, and all these demigods have just assumed his secondary names. But actually they're all Narayana potency. So he's actually the ultimate worshipful Lord. So then the demigod eventually comes to this conclusion that Krishna is the ultimate source, and he surrenders to Krishna. So we see Maharaj Antadana is not forcing his citizens. You have to become devotees, otherwise there's a death penalty if you don't become devotee or anything like that. So he's given them, this is, you came here to enjoy, so here is the way to, how you can enjoy nicely through the Vedic injunctions, which are Krishna's injunctions. So in this way he's serving Krishna, because Krishna's business is to get the living entities out of the material world, but they come here to enjoy it. So here is a program. You can enjoy in the material world by doing worshipping the demigods, which means following Vedic injunctions, which means you're going to be gradually purified and come. So Krishna's not... This is the place where forgetfulness of Krishna. So Krishna very cleverly introduced these Vedic systems where he's keeping people attached to the system. The Vedic system where there is purity, and then they gradually become purified. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, who is the best, the worshipper of Kali or the worshipper of Jesus? Because Jesus is preaching love of Godhead. This is our goal, we're also preaching love of God. And the Kali worshippers said they're worshipping, they're killing goats and animals and tamasic. So who is best? So Prabhupada said the worship of Kali. They said, how is that? And Jesus is teaching love of God. He said, but there's no parampara there. Teaching is lost. But at least they're worshipping according to the Vedas. They're offering sacrifices to Kali according to the Vedas. Still they're attached to the Vedas. They're accepting the authority of the Vedas. So slowly they will understand the purport of the Vedas. They will come to understand. Throughout the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says. So they'll actually come to that. Because at least they're attached to the Vedas, which is given by the Lord himself. So there is chance they will gradually become elevated and purified by following these Vedic principles. But Prabhupada said that in Christianity, there is no parampara now, there is no... so like this is the plan of the Lord. So he's not forcing them to become, but by There's a bit of trickery on Krishna's behalf. They're all engaging in Vedic sacrifices. So anyway, the same thing we see. Someone becomes a devotee, especially like in South India. And then the parents say, and then the devotee says, you've got to get it, you've got to get all those demigods off the altar, you've got to get everyone off, you've got to get Lakshmi Narayan off, you've got to get your Ganesh Ji off, Shiva Ji, and you're going to put Gaunitai there, or Radha and Krishna, and all the parents. For generations and generations, we worship worshipping all these demigods, and you're asking us to get rid of them. And you know, the thunderbolts are going to start flying around. And so the devotee also, he has to be clever like Krishna. Krishna doesn't completely force him to accept, he gives him. So he says that you can, he said, because all Vedic activity, you'll start by worshipping Ganesh, because Ganesh will remove the obstacles. So, there is a prototype Ganesh, Vikshakshina. He's the Vishnumurti with an elephant head. He's by his potency, Ganesh gets his potency to remove the obstacles. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you are worshipping, you've got your deities on the altar, but you can't throw everyone out because your family won't let you, but you're a devotee and you can't worship the demigods also. The person who's initiated with the Vishnu mantra by a bona fide sampradaya, he cannot worship the demigods. If he worships the demigods, he commits seva aparada and nama aparada. But now he's got a problem. He's got to worship the deities in the house, and the family members won't let him get rid of the demigods. So what's he going to do? So he does his Ganesh puja, but he's worshipping Vikshakshina. He's remembering Vikshakshina, the potency whom Ganesh gets his. So in this way, the family, he's okay, he's doing okay, he's not upsetting everything. But his consciousness is his worship. He's not worshipping him as demigods, but he's worshipping the potency which is coming from the Vishnumurti. So, in the Gaudiya line, because it says you have to worship Ganesh. So, they say, who's that Ganesh? They break the word up. Gana Isha. Gana means person. Isha means the topmost person. So, who's that topmost person? So, that's Guru. So, therefore, we do Guru Puja before we start our worship. We always remember Guru and do Guru Puja. So, Guru is our Gana Isha. He is the topmost person. So, we worship Guru Ganesha, and he removes the obstacle, then we're able to approach Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. Also, you see that when Maharaj and the Gurukul boys, they perform some jagana, they're installing all the different personalities in different parts. But they're substituting all these demigods, Gopal Bhaktas, also indicating that you substitute all the demigods, other people like this. The Mahajanas, the different Mahajanas, instead of the different demigods, you offer different Mahajanas. Instead of this, the different planetary systems, you offer the Sapta Rishis or something like that. So the little Vaishnavas and Vishnu people are invoked in all these different pots we see during the jagana. So it's not, they're not actually worshipping the Devatas. They're worshipping the Vishnu, the potency of Vishnu. So like this, everybody's satisfied, the family is satisfied, the devotees are satisfied. Then they offer the Mahaprasad to the demigods after. Okay. There is any question? Always speak about Sri Vashti. Sri
Could you please explain a little bit more about this prototype demigods and their actions and their beliefs in the spiritual realm?
Yeah, their duty is to... They're all different potencies of the Lord. The Lord is expanding for his pleasure. All these different potencies, each expansion of the Lord has specific potencies. It's complete in himself, but they exhibit different potencies. So, the potencies of creation, maintenance, destruction, then the Lord will expand. Also, Vishnu will take the position of being the maintainer, because that's most difficult. But there is a Brahma, prototype Brahma, Vishnumurti Brahma. He has his own Vaikuntha planet, and all of his own devotees are there. But he doesn't have it, God doesn't really have a duty, but when it's time, when the creations are going on, then by his potency, he invests it into a living entity who's become Brahma. So then he has a potency to create a universe. Well, Shankarshan is there, the origin of Shiva. So for the time for destruction, then that potency for destruction is manifested from Shankarshan into Lord Shiva. Or the Rudras. The Brahma Samhita also says there is, well, he's talking about Ganesh, and he says Ganesh, he gets his potency to remove all the obstacles from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom he keeps the his lotus feet on his tumalai, those bumps on the elephant's head. He keeps the Lord's lotus feet, so that actual Lord is Lord Nrisimhadev. We have our Ishtadeva, we have Radha Krishna, we have Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But why are we worshipping Nrisimha? Because he's Ishtadeva of protection. He takes the role of protection. So, see, Prabhupada advises to chant, worship Lord Nrisimha by chanting those prayers after every arati. And he said, we worship Lord Nrisimha for three reasons: to protect the movement, protect the guru, and protect the devotees. So he's our Ishtadeva for protection. It's not that some people get, they get the Shalagram Shila, Nrisimha Shila, and everybody's into it. It was a fashion one time. The whole consciousness is my Shalagram. You spend your whole life worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. That's not actually the purpose of Lord Nrisimhadev. Because you're going to go back to Nrisimha Loka if you spend your whole life worshipping conscious of Lord Nrisimhadev. You know, we turn to him when we need protection. He gives protection so we can approach Radha. This is Nrisimha Pali. This was revealed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Navadvipa Avataranga. He goes there and Lord Nrisimhadev appears before him. He's in my vaya, be fearless, my child. Stay here in the Dham and worship Radha and Krishna, chant the holy names. And very soon, by the mercy of the devotees, you will attain your perfection. So, Lord Bhaktivinoda is begging for fearlessness from him. And he removes all of his fear. And he gives him his blessings. That very soon, he will attain all perfection. So, like that, Parampara also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in sword and Nrisimhadev at the joke pit. Lakshmi Nrisimhadev. They're having a lot of problems there. In their days also. So then they installed Lord Nrisimhadev, and after that, everything came. It was quite smooth, much more smooth than before. And Nanda Baba is worshipping a former Lord Nrisimhadev in Goloka for Krishna's protection. So it's Parampara.
I was wondering if you could elaborate just a little bit more as to if this prototype demigods.
Although there is some mention sometimes that they actually in the form of, or they may assume the form of a boar or a half man, half lion. But that may be in the this system. For mandala, there are some bhashas where you get, and the Shingadev is there, and where the Lord stays there. So it may be, someone says, he may have the form of Varaharana Shingadev in those forms. But generally in the Vaikuntha planet, he's known as Varaharana Shingaram, but he's a Vishnumurti with four arms. I don't know if you have a Lakshmi peak sitting on his lap in the form of a rabbit. I don't know if Lakshmi would assume the form of a Varahadev, a pig. But anyway, they're eternal, they're all there, and they hold all the potencies. So, Shiva's Tagore is a potency also. So, Srivas is the bhakti kam, like a devotee. So he's like pure devotee. So his qualification is a pure devotee. Therefore, the first business of a devotee takes shelter of a pure devotee. That's our first business. When we have enough conviction and competences, Krishna consciousness is okay, then we have to be advised we have to take shelter of pure devotee. So that's the first business. So this is Shiva's potency. He's representing that. He's jiva tattva, but in pure situation, pure condition, uncontaminated conditions. So therefore we can take shelter. And by his shelter, then he gives us a process of devotional service, the process of bhakti. So that potency, bhakti, that the process of bhakti is Advaitacharya. He came to get people. He called the Lord, and he also came to preach the science of Krishna consciousness. So he's potency. And then when you follow you take shelter of pure devotee, follow the process, the result is Anatana Priti is gone, then you come to the Sutta Sattva platform. So that is Nityananda's potency. He's Vishuddha Sattva. He expands as Navadvipa Dham, as Vrindavan Dham. Vishuddha potency, Sandini potency. But it's Vishuddha Sattva, it's in the transcendental platform. And Gadatha Shakti potency, Aladini, everybody knows. He's Srimati Radharani. So he has the potency of bhakti. Bhakti is a mixture of Aladini and the chit potency, cognizant potency. Because if you want to be devotional, you've got to be conscious. So the bhakti shakti is a mixture of both. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the fifth tattva. He's all the tattvas, but his potency is rasa. His business is enjoyment. He's Rasaraj. It's God's business. All the other potencies are there to assist him, but his business is to enjoy that rasa. So they all carry their different potencies. So Krishna is one, he's become five. And he's tasting all these potencies. We're segregating with all these potencies. So Shiva's Narad Muni, He went to, must have been Dwarka, and he was crying about the situation of Kali Yuga. What's going to be, how will the living entities be delivered in Kali Yuga? Krishna says, there's no way. And that, nothing can save them in Kali Yuga. Nothing is powerful enough. But if I come myself, I'm the only thing who can do anything. There's no system in the material world that can counteract Kali Yuga. But I'm beyond all the system. I'm the creator. If I come, I can do something, but no one else. So therefore, I will come. Because I just heard something very astonishing from Rukmini. As she said, there was something I didn't know. That was what the devotees feel for your lotus feet. So I'm coming to experience that, what my devotees are feeling. Simultaneously, I'll give the Yuga Dharma to Satan, the Harinam Sankirtan. I'll bring the holy name and then we will conquer Kali. So Narada was in ecstasy. He was there, but they're crying, and then he comes next to you. So Narad, he's the Srivas Pandit, is Narad Muni. So you can imagine how happy Srivas was. He's Narad Muni. He went to Vaikuntha to the problem. He's crying about the deliverance of all the living entities. And then Krishna personally comes next door neighbor and spends all of his time. He's there every night in Srivas's house. How much in ecstasy was a Srivas Pandit? So he is very, very dear servant of Mahaprabhu. One time Mahaprabhu asked him, how come you don't seem to be doing any work? How do you maintain yourself, Srivas? And Srivas, Mahaprabhu said, what is that mystical things you are doing? Srivas, what does that mean? Very mysterious, please explain. And Srivas said, yes. He said, if fruit doesn't come, I will fast for one day. If it doesn't come, I will fast for 2 days. If it doesn't come, I will fast for 3 days. If it doesn't come after that, I will go with my family, we will jump in the Ganga. And Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, such faith you have, such devotion you have. He said, I am telling you right now that even if Lakshmi herself picks up a begging bowl and goes from door to door, give me some alms, there will never be a shortage of food in your house, Srivas. Even if Lakshmi goes begging, I will make sure that food is in your house. Not only for you, but all of your servants. Anyone who lives in your house, even the insects, they will all get love of Godhead. And when Mahaprabhu started to manifest his divinity, actually Srivas was the first, or one of the first, he manifested it too. And Mahaprabhu was going by the Ganga and he saw all the cows and he reminded him of Krishna and he said, I am he, I am he, I am he, I am that person. Then he went running to Srivas's house. Srivas was doing his puja, he used to worship deity, he used to look at the Sringadev Shaligram, Srila Rilsa. And Mahaprabhu went run out to the deity room and he started kicking on the door and he said, Srivas! Open the door! Open the door! I am he! I am he! That person you are worshipping! I am he! Open the door! Open the door! Srivas was completely confused, couldn't understand what was going on. He opened the door, Mahaprabhu was there. Then Mahaprabhu revealed to him his form of the forearms. So Srivas was in ecstasy and then he was finally convinced. He said, worship me, bring your family, worship me. So they all come and they worship Lord Chaitanya. So he was, at that time he revealed his identity to Srivas Thakur. Of course later on he revealed it. Again, on another time he sat on the altar with it and he revealed his the Mahaprakash pastime as a partial manifestation of the universal form, giving benedictions to everyone. One time he asked Shivas, "Tell me, what do you think about this Advaita Acharya?" And Shivas said, "Well, I think he's on the level of Sukadeva Goswami or Prahlad Maharaj." Mahaprabhu said, "What? What did you say about my mother? You say he's equal to Prahlad? They're mere children. They're infants. Prahlad, Sukadeva, you're equating them with my Advaita Acharya? What kind of fool are you?" I often chastise Srivas. There was one brahmachari, very strict, lifelong brahmachari, lifelong renouncing. He would only take raw milk. He wouldn't take any food grains from him. So he would often request, very humbly, he would request Srivas, can I come in and watch the dancing of Mahaprabhu? So he said, "Well, Mahaprabhu has forbidden anyone to come in." So anyway, he was a very humble Brahmin and very pure, most of goodness. So eventually, one day Shiva said, "Okay, but you can hide." So he hid him in a place in the house. Then they began their kirtan at night, and after some time Mahaprabhu said, "I'm not feeling in any ecstasy. There's some stranger here, some non-devotee here." So Shiva said, "Well, there is one person, but he's a very pure Brahmana. He only drinks milk, and he's very, very pure. He's very well known in Navadvipa." So Mahaprabhu said, "Get him out of here. Get him out immediately. If you can become pure by drinking milk, you can get love of God by drinking milk. Let's all sit down and drink milk." He said, "Where does it ever say you can become pure devotee by drinking milk? Get him out of here." What does he say? So then he left. Then Mahaprabhu got a change and they called him back. And he gave him his blessing. Because the Brahmana was very happy that he had seen. He said, "At least I saw." And I was chastised. He was very happy to get that chastisement also. So Mahaprabhu called him back. He said, "Austerities, penances, you cannot get Krishna like this. So you just worship Krishna." So he gave him his benediction. One time Shivas' son left his body during the kirtan and the ladies were crying, so Shivas went, "What's with this commotion here? Keep quiet, Mahaprabhu's performing his kirtan, you're going to interfere with his kirtan." They said, "Your son has died." He said that, "Anyway, you keep stop crying. We'll sort it out later. But stop crying, you're interfering with Mahaprabhu's ecstasies." After many hours actually, Mahaprabhu said, "Something has happened in the house. I feel something strange. Shiva's son actually left." "When did it happen?" "It's about 7 hours ago." "Why didn't nobody tell me?" "So you went to see the son." "Why have you left Shiva? Why you leave Shiva's house?" And the boy came back to life again. He said, "Well, I'm in this position by your arrangement, and I'm leaving this position by your arrangement. I don't have any say in the matter. You put me here for some time, and when it was time to take me away, you moved me away." So everyone was completely amazed with the discussion with this so-called dead boy. And they forgot all their sorrow. And they were everyone was very happy to hear the philosophy of life being spoken. And then Shivas, Mahaprabhu was saying, "What, your devotion, Shivas, how can I ever repay you? How can I ever repay you? Your son dies. You don't say anything. He said, let all of my son die, one after another. Let them all die. But on no account we will ever stop your pleasurable kirtan. If you get in ecstasy. And Mahaprabhu began crying and said, what's going to happen when I leave? When I ever leave, what's going to happen to these? They loved me so great, what's going to happen? Couldn't really understand, but that they understood later. This was an indication that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to take sannyas. This was the first time he revealed it, actually. Indirectly, he said, what's going to happen when I leave to all my devotees? They have so much love for me. But they figured something, but they really couldn't understand why he was saying. It was an indication later he would when he was in place, and yes. Shivashta Goroki. Okay. So there'll be an Abhishek about 11:15, 11. And Pushpanjali at 12 o'clock. And some Shivash Mahaprasad will be there with him. Shivash Thakur ki? Jai Guru Premanandi. Jai Krishna.